This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
How are y'all doing today? Well, I'm glad you guys are here. You know, that that song that we sang there at the end, I don't know if you guys got anything out of that, but you should have. And the reason you should have is because he does. We got to make way for him in our lives. And a lot of times we say we're making way, but we're not really making way. You know what I mean by that? You know, sometimes we hold on to stuff and we fight and we strive and we say we're making way for him, but we're not. You know, and I know this is a goofy illustration, but it came to me, growing up, I have a younger brother. Many of you guys know him. If you don't know Greg, everybody knows Greg. We all know that. But Greg was a wrestler and I was a basketball player. And for years, you know, I showed complete and total dominance over him, you know, as an older brother. I mean, it was just unquestionable. And, you know, so this went on for years, you know, just holding back his meager attempts at trying to overcome me. And, but there came a day where his skill outskilled me. He wasn't maybe as strong as me, but he had the skill to overtake me. And so he got me tied up like a pretzel, and my arm was bending in a way that it should not be bending, and it felt like maybe it was going to come out of joint, and I had to surrender to him. It was a very humbling day, a day I don't look fondly on. But my point in that is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is not going to grab your arm, and he's not going to rip it up to a point where it comes out and you have to say, "Uncle," you know, or "I surrender." That isn't how he works, man. He's a gentleman. And he's not going to, you know, when we come into these places and we come into these places of worship and the presence of God and the anointing, you know, he's not going to talk you into it. And there are going to be those that they'll come in and they'll enter in and they'll come down and they'll block out the world around them, and they will receive the presence. They'll receive a refreshing. They'll receive a filling. And it's all because they've just made a choice, a willing choice that, you know what, that's what I really want. That's what I really desire. You know, and so when we go through life and we want to do it our way and we want to have it our way, like Burger King and all these things, you know, and then we just want God to have his stamp of approval and blessing on our life, we're fooling ourselves. You know, we got to come to him in humility and say, "Lord, I don't want it to be my way." Now, you know, we sometimes in our own natural way of thinking have a tendency to kind of go that route. If you're a determined person, you know, it's like, "Okay, we're going to fight for this. We're going to make this happen." And the whole while, you know, the Lord's just like, "If you would just give it up, surrender, and allow me to come in and yield to my way, I'll help you. I'll help that situation. I'll help, you know, whatever it is that you're seeking." You know, there's lots of things in life. You know, there's relationships and there's needs that we have. Can I get a witness in here? You know, there's things that are going on. And so it's like, do you wanna just fight against it and strive against it? Or you just wanna just say, "Lord, I'm gonna yield to you. I'm gonna trust in you. I'm gonna trust that you're gonna meet the need. I trust that you're gonna speak. I trust that you're gonna show up where I need you. I trust for the wisdom that I need." Amen? That's what he wants to do. You know, and so as much as, you know, like as a young man, you know, man, I just wanted to beat the fire out of my brother. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's pride. It's all it is. It's just pride. Just call it what it is. And as a believer, we can't live that way. We cannot live our life that way. Because if we do, we're in for a long, tough, fighting road. I'd rather be on the straight, narrow, relaxing, smooth road. You know, like, you guys, how many like riding down these rough roads of Southwest Iowa? None of us. And then it's finally, they repaved the road. Feels good, doesn't it? Yes. That's what you want in your life. He said in his word, all throughout his word, he's like, man, you know, like in Proverbs, he's like, I'll make your road smooth. But there is a yielding in that. Amen. And so that's, you know, not in my notes, but I think it's good anyway. And I think that, you know, it positions you for when you come to this place. Listen, I want more of God in this place. How many of you guys want more of God in this place? Do you know that it is that more of God is, it's dependent on all of us. Yes. It's dependent on not just me or just him or just, you know, the music department. You know, if we come to this place thinking, well, man, I sure hope the music team has it on the stick today. I hope they brought their A game because I came expecting something that was good. All that is a consumer mentality. That's not Christianity. That's not as followers of Jesus, we are in for disappointment. The presence of God is attached to our expectancy. It's attached to our desire for more of Him. And when we have the numbers, you know what I mean by the numbers? When we have the majority of our family, the majority of our church is coming with expectancy. They're coming, you know, prayed up. They're coming full of God. It fills this place. And if we don't have the brakes on, you know, and you know, by brakes, it's like, I don't know about that. I'm not real sure about that. That makes me a little bit nervous, or raising my hands or whatever. You know, I heard somebody praying in the spirit. What, you know, whatever it is, that's the brakes. And that's going to restrict God in this place. And so my encouragement really to you guys is just, man, let's just take the brakes off in these last days, in the days in which we are living. I don't want my way. You don't want your way. We can have it our way, but it's far below what He has intended for the church. The outpouring of His Spirit, we have to yield to Him and to Him, His desire and His heart for this house. And so, man, it's up to us, man, to be in the Word, be full of the Word, be prayed up, not be walking in bitterness, not be walking in unforgiveness, not be, you know, holding grudges, not be, you know, cussing people out when we're on our way to church, not cussing people out who are walking across the parking lot. Dear God, I hope there's nobody in here doing that. Probably when you come in the parking lot, that stops, right? Listen, guys, I mean, he wants more for us. But man, we got to live holy. We got to live righteous. There's a requirement to it. We can't just live any old way and expect His presence in our life. And I'm not trying to beat on you, but I'm just saying, if you want more of Him in your life, you're going to have to rid yourself of some of these things in your life that are holding you back. They are holding you back. So it's in love. It's in love. It's in love for you. For you individually. Listen, I mean to tell you, your life, your marriage, your job, your business, you can have so much more if you'll get rid of some of this stuff and some of this junk. And not only that, as believers, man, we get rid of this stuff and we get rid of some of this stuff in our lives and take our foot off the brake and really yield to Him in our lives. When we come into this place, it changes the atmosphere. Because we see this a lot at kids camp and or at youth camp, or sometimes we've seen this in meetings here at the church that we can come in here, and if they're extended meetings, it'll take a couple days before it really kind of there's really freedom, and there's a pronounced difference from day one or day two to day three and day four. And the whole reasoning behind it is because, man, people just got stuff. They got things, they got weights, they got burdens, they got all this stuff that they're carrying on them. And so I'm just saying, let's just live a life that's like burden free. And I understand, you know, in life that there's things that happen with family and money and finances and all these different things. But you know, what did He say? He told us, man, to cast our burden on Him because He cares for you. So, you know, you don't have to wait to come to the house of God to cast your burden on Him. And you know, I think sometimes people get nervous. They get nervous because we raise our hands, or my gosh, that person was yelling, you know, or really, you know, demonstrative in their worship. I mean, I think for some of you, it would help. I'm serious. It would help for you to let loose a little bit. And listen, anybody that knows me knows that I have a tendency to be uptight. Josh Gutaw, one time we had this dog growing up, and Josh and I grew up together, and he looked at this dog and he's like, my gosh, that is a high strung dog. And what he meant was just how it was built, right? But he would probably look at me and, my God, Brian, you are really high strung. You need to relax a little bit. But my point is you may not be that way in life. You might be super relaxed and super chill. You might be, you know, like my daughter Lauren, just, you know, it's good, all good. But when we get into the presence of God, that all changes. And you get uptight. Oh God. Oh man. You know, you're like the high strung dog. You're like Brian, Pastor Brian, just woo, you know. Uptight. Listen, the Lord, he's not nervous. That's right. And I know some people say, well, he's not deaf either. Well, the point is that we have to let something flow from our life. And it is a surrender of your life. And it's just a yielding to him. And really, that we were singing that song, it's that yielding. And I think sometimes we're like me when I get on the interstate, I'll only yield about so much, right? Like if it's a semi, I will yield. But if it's somebody that's coming up on me and it's a little Fiat car, I'm not yielding, they'll yield. But my point is that I'm all over the place. Is listen, guys, I'm telling you what, this will set you free if you will just begin to really yield to him. Say, God, I'm going to do something that's uncomfortable. I'm going to put in some headphones, and I'm going to drive to work, and I'm out in the middle of Iowa. It takes me 20 minutes to get anywhere. Nobody sees me anyway. I'm going to do something I've never done. I'm going to just put on some amazing worship, and I am just going to let it rip. Okay, you can do it in the privacy of your own car. And I guarantee you, something will happen inside of you if you will yield in a private place. I don't care if you got to go out in the middle of a field where no one's at, where you are not high strung and worried about what other people think and what other people are seeing. And I mean to tell you something, the Spirit of God will touch you in a way that you've never been touched.
Glory. That's right.
And so do it. Begin to practice it. Begin to exercise it. Because as you begin to practice that in your private time, when you come to this place that's public and you're all nervous, as my dad said, nervous in the service, you'll be like, this is where this is supposed to happen. This is where I'm getting together with my fellow believers, and we're really gonna enter in. We're gonna let this go. We're gonna give vent. We're going to express ourselves, and I'm not going to be worried about what other people think, because man, I'm just giving it all to him. And man, when we do that, we'll go to new levels in our services that people desire. Amen. So let's do that together. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Our key text. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today. I thank you so much for this house. I thank you so much for these people. Father, I am grateful for your Spirit, that he will speak to each and every one of us, helping us to see things that we need to see. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're transforming us and changing us. Yes, causing us to grow up in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So our key text today, as we bring our series to an end, is found in John 14:6. It said that Jesus told him, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. So here we see Jesus, man, he states it pretty plainly. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so in your notes, we have to pursue Jesus. We have to. It's not an option. It's not an option. You know, we've been in this series talking about pursuing things, and we've been looking at what the Bible has to say about those things that we really should be going after, those things that we should be hungering for, those things that we should really be desiring, and allowing his word to help us to see some of the things in our lives that we begin to pursue that we really shouldn't be. You know, we looked at the love of God. We looked at personal growth. We looked at the path. All of these things, the word is filled and full of things that we should be pursuing. But man, and actually, truth be told, I wasn't gonna share this. I worked for a couple days on 4 different messages. And at about 9 o'clock last night, I finally surrendered and said, okay, uncle. I know, I'm a slow learner. You guys are just like, oh my gosh, I would have had that days before you. Well, you're so spiritual. But here's the thing, Jesus, he wants us to pursue him. He wants us to pursue him, and because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. You know, and one of the verses that we looked at that I really love this verse, it's in Matthew 6, verse 21. It's in the Passion Translation, and it says that, for your heart will always pursue what you esteem as you treasure. Our heart will pursue what we esteem. So whatever it is, you know, and we made this point that what you value will determine what you pursue. You know, so at any point in our lives, the things that we're placing value on determine what we pursue. You know, if we spend all of our time at work, we are valuing our work. We're pursuing our work. If we spend all of our time, you know, doing that extracurricular activity, we're pursuing that, right? That's where our heart is. That's where our esteem is. That's where our desire is. And much like we talked about or this morning, I encourage you in, that's what fills in. That's what fills your life. You know, there's these tests. They're kind of cool tests, actually. The bank does this test, and it's like an energy unit measurement of people. Like, did you know that certain people in here, you only got about, well, some of you already know that. You're like, man, it's 10 o'clock and I'm already tired, right? Or you know, and there's, it measures how much energy units a person has to give. It's kind of cool. It's kind of based on your personality profile. But what my point is that we only have so much energy to give. When we wake up in the morning, you know, if we got a good night's rest and we've been kind of, you know, not living on caffeine and we're feeling pretty fresh, we got about so much energy. And then that's going to trail off. And so the question is what are we spending that energy? What are we esteeming in our life? You know, because the reality of it is that if we spend our day and we think at the end of the day, man, I'm going to give it to you, Lord. I'm going to give you all I have. Well, guess what? There's not much left over. You know, it's kind of like he gets the leftovers of our life. And so we never gain ground. We never really, you know, experience all that he has for us. And so what you value will determine what it is that you pursue. And so if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be in Luke 8, so you can turn to Luke 8 today. But we're going to look at a story that I love this story. I don't know why. I love that, this story about this woman with the issue of blood. I love the centurion. Man, I love him, man. That would have been cool to have been standing right there, you know, where he just said, just say the word. Yeah, man. I was like, it's kind of like a scene right out of Gladiator, right? Or something, some really tough movie, you know. So this is a story I really like. And so we're going to look at this. It says right here in Luke 8:40, it says, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcome Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Number one in your notes is crowds welcome and wait, but they never really pursue. Crowds welcome and wait, but they never really pursue. How many of you guys like crowds? Anybody? Not one person in here raised their hand. Not one person. Nobody likes a crowd, right? I mean, when we go to these concerts, the last one we were at Winter Jam, you know, and my kids wanted to go, but in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I don't really like crowds. But you got to go because there's the experience, right? There's that band that you like, and so you just got to push that feeling down and deal with the crowd. Why do we not like the crowds? Why do we not like crowds? Anybody, you know, we don't like crowds because they're all over the place and they smell and there's all these people and they're pushed together and they're fighting and they're cursing and they're drinking beer and they're doing all this stuff at these, you know, just it is an undesirable place to be. I mean, can I get a witness? That's why no one raised their hand that they like a crowd. That's why you're all sitting apart from one another, because no one likes a crowd. I got a point. The point is that the crowd, when Jesus came to the shore, the crowd welcomed him and they were waiting for him. They wanted to see him. It's like the favorite concert that you want to go to. You're going because you want to see that big act. That's the only reason you're there. You just want to watch, you want to take it in, you want to experience it. It's like, I just want to watch. I'm just waiting for the big act. I'm enduring all these really bad bands just to welcome and wait for the last one, right? It's a terrible attitude, isn't it? I mean, if we're real honest, it's terrible. But that's what the crowd does. It welcomes and it waits, but they're never really pursuing Jesus. Because look at what it says here in Matthew 7:13. We actually looked at this in week one. It says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." Wide, really wide, really wide, broad. And it leads to destruction. And get this, and many, right? And many enter through it. The crowd will enter through it. Why will the crowd enter through it? Because it says right here, Jesus said, broad is the way and many are those that lead to destruction. So the crowd that is looking and waiting and welcoming Jesus said in Matthew that they're the ones that will enter into destruction because many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find it. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but finding requires effort. Finding something, if you're looking for, have you ever, I lost my AirPods this week. It was terrible. Like for 4 days, I am looking everywhere, in every couch, in everything, under everything, in all of our vehicles. But guess what? I was willing to do it. I got to find these things because this is how I enjoy life. This is how I turn things on and off. This is how I go to a very peaceful place. It's just hit this button. And for 4 days, I couldn't go to that peaceful place. And so I was looking for them. I had to find them. And that is this narrow road that Jesus speaks of. Those, the few that find it are the ones that are looking for it. And so few will find it. Look at what it says here. It goes on to say that the man, this is the next verse, the man named Jairus, a leader of a local synagogue, came. Okay, so listen, Jesus is still surrounded by the crowd that none of us like. He's still surrounded by it. And Jairus comes through, he's a local leader, he comes and he falls at Jesus' feet. And he pleads with him and he says, "Come to my home, my daughter's sick, she's only 12 years old and she's dying." And what did Jesus do? He went with him. He was surrounded by the crowds. Jesus was surrounded by the crowds. And so we see here that Jairus comes through the crowd. He comes through all these people that are welcoming and they're waiting on Jesus. But what did Jairus do? He came through the crowd. He fought through the crowd. He didn't like crowd. I'm sure he was with all of us in here that no one else in here likes crowd. But guess what? Jairus needed something. And so he went through the crowd and went to Jesus. And so what we see is that Jesus, he responds when we pursue him. Jairus pursued him. And Jesus responded. What did he say? He said, Jesus, my daughter is dying. I need you to come. And Jesus turned in the crowd and they began to move that direction. And so what we have to understand is that the crowd, they're waiting and they're welcoming, but they don't ever really pursue. But this individual that we see, Jairus, he pursued Jesus. He wasn't welcoming him. He wasn't waiting for Jesus to come up to him and say, hey, Jairus, what's going on? No, he came to Jesus. He pursued Jesus, and Jesus responded to his action. He'll do the same thing for you in your life. We can be a part of the crowd. We can come to church and be a part of the crowd. Welcome Jesus and do what it is we do, or we can be like these individuals, like Jairus and this woman that we're going to look at here in a minute, and be the one that pursues him. And we can rest assured that when we don't join the crowd and we pursue him, man, he's going to respond to our life. And so look at what this says here. Here's some supporting verses to this idea that Jesus responds when we pursue him. 1 Chronicles 16:11. What's it say? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. What does that mean? If we seek and pursue him, what? Continually, right? Another one is Matthew 5:6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's it say? They will be filled. You got to seek him. You got to go after him. You got to hunger and thirst for him. You got to pursue him. And when you do, then you're filled, right? And then look at this one. Proverbs 8:17 says it this way. I love those who love me. How many even here love Jesus? Yes, I love those who love me. But it goes on, it says, those who seek me diligently will find me. Those that seek diligently will find me. And so we see right here that it's we can have a bad attitude like the crowd and just be like, I'm just waiting here. I'm just waiting for the big act. Just a part of the crowd. Or we can be the one that it's like, man, I am doing these verses. I am seeking him. I'm looking for him. I am finding him. But I think the problem is sometimes we stop that pursuit, right? How many, you guys remember playing hide and seek? We all played hide and seek. Do they still play hide and seek? I went to camp one year. And I did this Lego workshop for years with these little tykes, you know, have these like four different, we compete for the goods, right? We compete, all right? I know, we gotta teach these young kids that the life is more than just a ribbon, okay? So I do this Lego thing and we compete, okay? The winner takes all. They take all, they get to choose. I have gifts and prizes for the winner. Well, one year I did this, and I asked them, I said, a paper airplane. And these kids, they didn't know what a paper airplane was. I could not believe it. I'm like, that's it. We're making paper airplanes, and we're going to make a competition out of it, and winner takes all. But my point is this. They still play hide and seek. I can remember growing up, we'd be in my grandma's basement, and I can remember all the cousins would go down there. And man, I mean to tell you, the Gutoff family has a lot of cousins, okay? But what was really good, what was amazing was that these older cousins would hide and you could not find them. I mean, you're looking everywhere. As a young little cousin, it's like, you know, it's like you want to turn the light on, you want to try to find them, and you're looking everywhere. It's like, man, I've exhausted every door. I've looked in every door. I've gone everywhere and I can't find them. And so you grow weary and well-doing. You just stop, and then you go over, and you'd sit on the steps, and then out of the dark, they would come. It's like, where were you? You know, and I think that that's what happens to us as believers, is that we kind of grow weary in the seeking. We grow weary in the finding, and we struggle for that. But I just want you to know that he does respond. Jesus responds when we pursue him. What we didn't know was is that these older cousins, they'd go upstairs. They'd be eating. They'd get a snack. Get an Easter egg, get their candy, and then he'd come back down when we weren't looking. That's why we were not finding them. The problem is that we stop. We stop pursuing him. Life's challenges, the health challenges, it could be marriage challenges, you know, the times in which we're living, the challenges, you know, the wars, all the stuff that's going on. It can be uncertain. It can be challenging to what it is that's going on in our lives. And so we struggle and we stop pursuing him. But we have to understand that it's a fight. It's there's effort that goes into it. We have to just not give up. You know, I think Jairus, man, he just got to the point where he was desperate. He's like, I've heard about this Jesus, and I know there's a big crowd down there by the lake, and I'm gonna have to fight to get through. I mean, there's been times in my younger days when I'd go to concerts, and it's like, if you wanted to be down front, you could be down there. But man, you gotta fight for it, right? If you wanted to be down there right up against the fence and see your favorite, you know, musician, you had to fight for it. And I'm sure the Jairus is like, listen, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are down there, but I don't care, man. I am going to pursue him. And he did. He fought through it and he got down there and he responded. And so there was this lady then, and she found herself in the crowd. And she did something different though. She didn't wait on Jesus. She didn't wait to welcome him. She didn't hope that he would walk by him or her. She took a different approach. Look at this approach that she took in Luke 8:43. It says that a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. That's a long time. She suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could not find a cure. And so we can see this little lady, I kind of envision her as a little lady in this massive crowd who had suffered for 12 years and could find no cure. And maybe you're like her. Maybe you have been suffering in your life for maybe not 12 years, maybe 10, maybe 20. I don't know. You know, maybe it's grief. Maybe it's pain of loss or sickness. Maybe it's been constant. It's something that's constant in your life that's nagging and it's an issue and it won't go away. Maybe you've searched and found no cure. She had looked everywhere. She had looked everywhere. And she was in the same boat. And maybe you're in that boat. But she said, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to put forth the effort. You know, and that's the thing with our looking sometimes. Proverbs 17:24 says that the perceptive find wisdom in their own front yard. But fools look for it everywhere but right here. Sometimes I think that's what happens. We just are going through life and we pursued Jesus for a while and we grew weary and we decided, you know what, this isn't working. I never found my answer, never got my answer. And so we begin to go other places and look in other things and look in other places for the answer or for the comfort that we desire. All the while, the answer is right there. It's Jesus. And so we need to stop pursuing what we think is the cure and start pursuing the way and the truth and the life. That's what we need to do. And so that's what she did in Luke 8:44. It says, coming up behind him, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Isn't that amazing? Number three is pursuing Jesus is the cure. Pursuing Jesus is the cure. No matter what it is that you need, whether it's healing, whether it's wisdom, whether it's insight, freedom, truth, pick your adjective. What do you need today? You know, in this case, it was, she needed healing. But I'm here today to tell you guys that if you will take an attitude of Jairus, or take the attitude of this woman, that it's like, you know what? Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is my cure for whatever it is that you need. And you begin to pursue him in your life. He will respond. He will begin to speak to you. He'll begin to tell you what it is that you need to change, adjust, fixed. He'll begin to work on your behalf. You'll begin to see people's hearts and minds and perceptions change as a result of praying and seeking him about what it is that you need, because Jesus is the cure. Number four is that pursuing Jesus takes effort and determination. Yeah, it's a tough one, I know. Effort and determination. You know, when I think about this lady, she had to be weak. You know, she's been sick for 12 years. She had to be weak and void of all strength. You know, I'm sure she hardly weighed anything. I'm sure that she was, you know, skin and bones, yet she fought her way through the crowd. She pushed her way through the crowd. She had to get to Jesus and touch his robe. She was determined. She had to put forth the effort. And when it comes to our lives, guys, we have to do the same thing. There has to be effort and there has to be determination in following and pursuing Jesus, because it's required. So will you put in the effort to pursue Jesus? Will you pursue him and put in the effort? You have to. It's why Paul told us in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith for true faith. Hold tight to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. It's a good fight because we win. It's a good fight because we win. I'm going to say it again. It is a good fight. How many of you guys have ever been in a fight? It's a good fight when you got some dudes with you that you know can lay the smack down on, right? That's a good fight. The fight we have in the spiritual fight, you know, this is not a natural fight. This is a spiritual fight that we are in as believers. And it's a good fight because we win. And so if you need reminded of that today, you need to be reminded that we win. We have won. He's given us the victory. We are more than conquerors. So we can live in that place in our lives. Man, I'm a winner, man. Jesus is backing me, baby. Amen. Jesus is with me. The Holy Spirit has been sent as my strengthener, my guide, my helper, my standby. He is in this fight with me too. But it takes effort and determination. So you have to fight, because the enemy, man, he's out to keep it from you. And if you think that he's not, you're in for a rude awakening. Because, man, he'll distract you. He'll get you off in a corner. He'll keep you off where you're ineffective as a believer. As long as you're sitting over there just welcoming and waiting on Jesus, like the crowd. He just wants you to be part of the crowd. Just be a part of the crowd. Just go with the flow. Go with the flow. Enjoy what the crowd is doing. Follow the crowd. Walk. Oh, the crowd is moving. You know, oh, we're going this way. That's what the enemy wants. He'll just lull you off to sleep, lull you off to following and going along with. That ain't what Jesus called us to do. He didn't call us to be with the crowd. Right. He told us that they're going down the wide road that leads to destruction. So if you need a visualization, they're walking this way. You're going to have to turn and go this way. You got to go against the grain, go against the flow. If you want to pursue him, if you want to follow him. But if you don't, if you want to go with the crowd, follow the crowd, do what the crowd's doing, act like the crowd, look like the crowd, be like the crowd, it's a wide road of destruction. And they're welcoming and waiting on Jesus, and there is no pursuit of Jesus in the crowd. And so we can't do that. We got to fight for it. We got to go against the flow. We got to have effort and determination. And that's why Paul told us, fight. You got to fight for it, and you got to hold on tight. Another scripture here is in 2 Corinthians 4:7. And you guys have heard this, but this really describes us, but I think it'll help you. It says that we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. Get this. Did you know that? That you're a fragile clay jar containing a great treasure? Did you know that you contain a great treasure? How many of you in here are believers? Well, everybody raise your hand if you're a believer. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, everybody in here? Got a few of you? A few of you that aren't? If you are, you are a container of a great treasure. But look what it goes on to say. This makes it clear that our great power is from God. This treasure, this power is from God, not of ourselves, that we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Man, that's good. You guys pressed on every side? You ever been pressed on every side? Well, here's a promise. You're not crushed. Look what it goes on to say. You're perplexed, but not driven to despair. You're hunted down, but you're not abandoned. If you feel alone today, here's your promise. You're not abandoned. You're not alone. Look what it goes on to say. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Amen. Through suffering, our body continue to share in the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Man, what a promise. Today, you might be pressed, but you're not broken. You might be perplexed and not know what to do, but guess what? You don't have to be in despair. He's with you. He's in you. His promise. He's not abandoned you. You're not destroyed. You might have got knocked down. We've all been knocked down. But guess what, man? We have won the victory. And he's there. He's beside us, man. He'll help us up. He'll dust us off. He'll say, let's go. Let's go with the flow. Let's not go with flow. Let's go against the flow. We're going this way. We're going to fight this fight, and we're going to bring people with us. We're going to take people out of this crowd that is going the opposite direction, and we're going to bring them with us. Look what it goes on to say. That the woman showed the world that day. Look at Luke 8:45. It says, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me. For I felt the healing power go out from me." So what we see is that pursuing Jesus, it's deliberate. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. We don't pursue Jesus on accident. It's not an accident. We don't just fall into a deep, vibrant relationship with Jesus. We don't. But we live in this Insta world. Insta. Instagram, Instapop, Insta Noodles, Insta Burger, Insta Burrito, Insta Movie, Insta Music, whatever it is that we want, Insta Date. I gotta find a mate, Insta Mate, Insta Spouse, swipe left, swipe right. I've never done that. I found mine in a good old-fashioned way. But we live in this Insta world where it's like we get it right there, right now. And that's the way we... It's sad. It really is sad. It's sad because the older generation, you know, they didn't even have... They could not search... They could not pull up their Bible app and type, or they didn't even have Google. Like, Dad didn't have Google, okay? What did he do? He got in the Bible, man, and he started digging. They had a Strong's Concordance, but even that was like 700 pages long. I mean, you gotta find one word. I mean, how long did it take him to find a word in that thing? It was not Insta anything. The man, the diligent seeking, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek. And so today, here we are. We pick up a phone. It's like, God, I'm going to Google that. Guess what? That's terrible effort on our part. We We got to go deeper. We got to desire more. We got to pursue. I mean, I'm not against Google. Thank God for Google. But man, spend some time digging, getting in, going deeper, finding. You know, there's plenty of free websites out there. You can go deeper. You can look at Strong's. You can look at cross references. You know, look, study, search, seek, find him in those times. But what's sad about it is that this younger generation, these younger people, they've not been taught that it takes more than just a swipe. You cannot swipe Jesus into your life. You can't scroll with your thumb. You're not going to scroll Jesus into your life with your thumb. And so here they are, they want more of Jesus. Here they are, they have problems. Here they are, they need help. Here they are, they need encouragement. But we have taught them that, oh, we'll just swipe. You know, that one picture with a Bible verse on it. Oh, that'll bless you. You know what you need? You need the Word of God. You need to find a place where you can get not just one scripture, but multiple scriptures that promise you and encourage you and uplift you and bring healing and wholeness and really renew your mind. And I'm not beating up on them because it's not their fault. Us older people are the ones that created it and are now selling it to them. And because of that, that whole insta world, they're following the crowd. Everybody's looking down and everybody's going the way of the wide road. But man, if you want to be different as a young person, it's like, you know what? I'm going to set this thing down. I'm going to get out a paper Bible and I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go this way and I'm going to walk the narrow road and I'm going to pursue Jesus. And man, when you do, that's when you'll be rewarded because of the diligence. Don't go with the flow. Go against the grain. Go against the flow. Pursuing Jesus is deliberate. Hebrews 11:6, I said it before and Pastor Scott used it for offering. Those that draw near to God must believe that he exists and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Is he a rewarder of those that read one scripture a day? Is he a rewarder of those that go to church one time a month? Nope. Is he a rewarder of the person that prays over their meal? No. Is he a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Yeah, he is. So let's just be people, man, that it's like, I am determined. I'm like this woman with the issue of blood. I am determined. I'm going to put in some effort. I'm going to go the distance and I'm going to get my answer. I'm going to get my cure. I'm going to be deliberate in my walk with Jesus. And it leads me to my last point. And that is in Luke 8:47. And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell on her knees in front of him. And the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had immediately been healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Pursuing Jesus will make you well and it'll bring you peace. So if you're here today, listen, younger people, you don't have to be lonely. I know that I heard a stat, and it is so sad, that, stay hooked up with me. I know I made my last point and you're all folding your stuff up and you're ready to roll, but stay with me. Listen, these younger people need this, okay? I heard a stat that was, I was saddened by it, that I think it's Generation Z, which is 11 years old to 22 or something. I might have the generation wrong, but it is, they're not dealing with these health issues that many of the older generations are. They're dealing with loneliness is really the main thing. It's a loneliness thing. Because in 2020, we told them it wasn't safe to go out. And we stuck them in a room and they were by themselves. And then after a year, we decided it was okay for them to come back out and we didn't explain it to them and we shoved them out the door. And so now they're living a life where they're lonely and they're filled with anxiety and they're filled with all of these things that Jesus paid the price for. And I'm just here today to tell you, most of the younger people, but some of them are spread out. Listen, if you're lonely, Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your cure. If you'll go to His word is filled. Like, Google it. I know you know how to use Google. Google encouragement. Google what the Bible has to say about being lonely. Google what it has to say about worry and anxiety. There's a website, openbible.info. It will give you hundreds of scriptures that pertain to the word that you desire. And if you'll just sit there and read one scripture after another scripture, after another scripture, after another scripture, you will watch as that loneliness dissipates. That anxiety and that worry will dissipate. It'll go away. And I'll tell you what, if you'll go there every day, that thing that has a hold on you, whether it's loneliness or anxiety or worry or panic attacks, it'll be a distant memory. But don't feed it, because the crowd is going this way and they're scrolling and they're looking for companionship. They're looking for help. They're looking to be filled. They're looking for what is it? They're trying to find it on here. And it's only the word of God that will bring the cure. It's only Jesus that will bring the cure to their life. And so if you're in that place or you need help, go see Pastor Scott. We have wonderful leaders in here. Listen, they will get you what it is that you need. Do not be embarrassed. If you're in that place, you need to find a leader, find somebody you trust, find a parent. Come to me. I will help you. We love you and we want you well. And He is the cure. He will cure anything that you are dealing with. Amen? Anything. Adults too, man. You got baggage, you got stuff, you got bitterness, you got unforgiveness, you got things in your life that are going on. You want the cure, pursue Jesus. Because just like that woman, she fought through the crowd. She said, I've been dealing with this for 12 years. I've not been able to get rid of it. I've not been able to find the cure. I've not been able to deal with this. I've gone to all these different people. I've spent everything I have. I got nothing. That's what we need to do. We got to come to the end of ourselves and say, Lord, I got nothing. I need you. I need you with my unforgiveness. I need you with the bitterness that I have. I need you with the feelings that I have for this person that are not good. I need you with these things that I'm dealing with. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's a stronghold that's in your life. He will be the cure for you. But you got to pursue Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this story. It's such a powerful illustration, Father. And God, I just pray for each and every person that's in here today, young and old. You know what they need. You know everything that's going on in their life. You know the hills, you know the valleys, you know the pain, you know the hurt. And so today, God, I just pray for them that as they leave this place, Father, that they will seek you because you are the cure. You are the cure. You are the cure, and you heal all of our infirmities. Everything, Father, that we're dealing with. You paid the price, and we're thankful, Father, for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we're just going to start there. You don't know Him at all. You've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day. He gave His life for you. So if you've never surrendered your life to Him, let today be that day. Because can I tell you, that road that leads to destruction, that's what you're on. You need to turn and get onto the narrow road that leads to life. And so by deciding, I want to follow Him, that's what you're doing here today. So if you've never done that and you want to do that, I want you to say, raise your hand up, put it right back down, say, Brian, that's me. Is there anybody in here that has never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? We're not leaving this place until you make that decision. That's too much of a cost, man. Jesus is coming again. lost people are important. So if you are lost and you're that person, raise up your hand and say, Brian, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Anybody at all? Okay. How about if you're far from him? You've walked away from him. You're so far from him, you can't see the crowd. You're not even close to him. You want to say, Brian, that's me. I am far from him. I want to come back into right standing with him. If that's you, raise up your hand and say, Brian, pray with me. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? You can put that hand down. Anybody else? Come on. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Surrender your life to him. Is there anybody at all? I got one. We got to be right with God. Man, his life for us and his desire for us is a good one. So why not be in right standing with him? Amen? Anybody at all? Anybody else? All right, let's pray with this one. Let's join together and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. And today, we repent of our actions, our behaviors, and our lifestyle. And we repent, and we ask you to forgive us. And we thank you, Father, that you've forgiven us and brought us into right standing with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, if you made that decision or wanted to make that decision, we got a prayer team down here, man. They want to pray with you. I'll tell you what, we got resources and things. They'll help you. They'll pray with you. They'll encourage you. That's what you need, man. You need somebody that'll come alongside you and help you and pray with you and agree with you. If there's those in here and maybe you got something going on, I know we say it every week, but why not? Why not take advantage of a team of people that want to pray with you? The Bible says that when we agree, man, it's done. How many of you guys want something in your life to be done? Well, then take advantage of it. They'll be right down here after service. Amen? Listen, tomorrow night, strong men, if you didn't sign up, all you guys that are procrastinators, you need to get over. Get on your phone, go to myfc.info, sign up. It's gonna be a great time. We're gonna eat, have a great time. We'll have giveaways. You'll be strengthened as a man. That's what you need in this day and age. You're on the narrow road and you need strengthened. Amen. And then two, Easter. We got invites out there. Invite somebody. It's one of two Sundays a year where if people were simply asked, they would come. Just simply ask. Say, hey, this is going on. Hey, this is going on. Take some. Hand them out. And don't take them and put them in your armrest. Take them and hand them out. Hand them out. Hand them out. Hand them out. Don't throw them out the window when you're driving down the road. Hand them out. Say, hey, I want to invite you to church. Let's invite some people to church. Amen. He loves the lost. He loves those that need him. Amen. And we are, remember, we're jars. We carry that treasure of his goodness and his truth. Amen. Let's stand up. Greet those that are around you. Tell them that you love them, that you are glad that they're in their life, and then you may be dismissed. We'll see you, men, tomorrow night at 6:30. And the rest of you at 7 o'clock on Wednesday.